overcoming the dominion of sin in our lives. How do we overcome? How do we become free, liberated from the power of sin? Do you remember what I told you yesterday? I said that at salvation, we were freed from the penalty of sin. But as we live the Christian life, we slowly begin to be free from the power of sin. Then one day, when the Lord returns, we will be free from the presence of sin. So today we're still fighting sin. But you know what? The Bible tells us something beautiful in Romans. It says, reckon yourselves dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Romans 6:11. And then Paul says, sin will not have dominion over you. That's what I want to talk about. How do we get to the place where sin will not dominate our lives? Very important question with a great answer from the Bible. But first, I want to say my hellos. I like saying my hellos. Hello to Darla, Sonal, and to Moses. Wow, that's a toughie. Ezek, Shukwa. Ezek Shukwa. I like that. Our people have the most amazing names, I'm telling you. Tobekile. I love that. Well, it's good to see you too. Bless you. And God love all of you. Well, Lord, bless your people today in a blessed way. Let them see the word with power. In the sweetest name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen. Listen, share this with your friends, because this teaching is, and by the way, I'm going to get into the word. I have so much to talk about today, because I like saying my hello and all that to you, but I'm going to get in the word right now because it's so important. We are living in a time right now where the enemy is coming at so many of us daily. You know, I've been living as a Christian. I've been saved for almost 50 years now. And I'm telling you, I've seen this happen in my own life. I didn't understand it fully. And when I would read, you know, Romans 6, sin will not have dominion, I kind of didn't really get it. I do today. But for a long time, it just didn't get in there in my heart. I mean, it got here, but that was about as far as it got. And then it just, I didn't really understand it. But wow, when Paul says something so powerful here. He says, likewise reckon or consider. I'm reading Romans 6:11. Yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus. And then he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Years ago I would say, well, how do I do that? And then in verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead. Verse 14, sin will not have dominion over you, because you're not under the law, but under grace. But then, you know what I always missed, is verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. And I thought, Lord, how do I do that? Like, what must I do where I don't have to yield to the things that come against me every day? And you too, we all have the same problems. And yield to you. But I never paid attention to the words, yield unto God. Yield unto God. Now I get it. It says, yield yourselves unto God, verse 13. Meaning surrender. Well, surrender is the cross. I carry the cross daily, That's how I surrendered to God, to say, Lord, I'm going to give you my life today again. I'm going to surrender to you again. And Lord, I'm going to carry my cross, meaning I'm going to die to self. I'm not going to say yes to myself. I'm not going to say yes to the sin that the devil throws at me through whatever channel, you know, internet, people, books, magazines, even whatever. Say no. I'm not going to look at it. You see, what Christians think about when they think about the cross, they think about the past. But the cross has way more to do with us than just the past. The cross, yeah, the cross took care of our past problems. Like I told you, when you got saved, you were freed from the penalty of sin, but not the power of sin. The power of sin you are free from every day as you surrender to the Lord. One day we're going to be free from the presence of sin. And remember this, the scriptures I gave you. Let me just give them to you again, just in case you forgot them. John 5:24, free from the penalty of sin. That's from the past. Romans 5:10, free from the power of sin. That's the present. As I surrender to God. It's a process. And Revelation 21:27, I'll be free one day from the presence of sin when Jesus comes back. Because there'll be no sin present. So most believers look at the work of the cross as a past work. No. Jesus said to us, he said, you carry the cross daily. And that's in Luke 14:27. He says daily. Well, daily means you daily say no to the flesh. And you daily say no to the world. And you daily say no to the devil who throws things at you all the time. Well, how does he throw it at us? Just open your, you know, turn on your TV set. That's all you need. And he'll be throwing something at you every few minutes. So Jesus said, whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. Like, and I said yesterday, when Jesus said he cannot, it doesn't mean like I don't want him. He cannot means he won't survive. If he does not take that cross and carry that cross, if she does not take that cross and carry that cross every day, they just won't win against the devil. He cannot make it as a Christian. Look what's going on out there today. People are falling apart left and right because they are not taking the message seriously. So, when people think, and this is what I'm going to get into now, because it's very important that you like tune in with me. When people think about the cross, they think about a cross on a building or on a necklace. No. The cross has to do with execution and death. It would be compared today to the electric chair or a hangman's rope in some countries. The cross deals with death, but what else does it deal with? Shame. We carry the shame of sin. We say, no, I don't want it. I don't want to live there again. The cross means shame. You know, think about what execution is. It's shameful. It's painful. The condemned man is whipped. He's mocked. He's spit upon. That's what happened to the Lord when he carried his cross. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you start living that Christian life, people are going to call you names. They're going to mock you. They're going to insult you. They're going to make you feel terrible. Just don't pay attention. They're going to persecute you. So the cross means persecution too. Because Jesus carried the shame. The cross isn't something, you know, about glory and about, you know, power. The cross is about shame, but it gives us power to live the Christian life. Okay, fine, let them shame me, I don't care. Let them call me names. I would rather be a doorman in the house of the Lord than to be living with these sinners out there. Forget it. If they want to attack me and talk about me and attack and say horrible things against me, fine, let them. What did they do to my Redeemer? Think about the cross, execution, the mocking of the crowds. When someone was crucified, not only was he beaten, mocked, spit upon, and so on, and whipped, but as he's going towards his crucifixion, people were mocking, laughing, screaming, insulting. You don't think that what happened to the Lord, you and I will be immune from, it's not going to happen to us? No. Because we have to carry the cross and follow Him. And we carry our own cross. Jesus carried His own cross. You know what? Think about the shame of being naked. Think about nailed naked to a cross. You know, they got pictures of the Lord hanging on a cross with something around His waist. That's not what the Bible says. He was covered with spittle. No clothing. They took His clothes off of Him. Don't you remember? They were gambling about who's going to get His robe. So, shame. Are you willing to be persecuted? Are you willing to pay the price of saying, I don't care what people say about me? As long as Jesus is happy with me, I'm fine. So living the Christian life, not only is it saying no to the devil, it's saying no to his crowd. Because Jesus in me is living the life, giving me the power to say no. Remember what I told you yesterday? You know, we're dealing with the power of sin, and the only way to deal with the power of sin is yield unto God, surrender unto God, Romans 6:13. You yield your members to the Lord. Jesus now lives His life through you, giving you the power to say, no, I don't want it. No, I'm not going to look at it. Like Job said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. And now what happens? The world will mock you, condemn you, persecute you, call you names. So, you have to come to terms with the offense of the cross. When you live the Christian life, you're going to cause people to be offended. You're going to cause people to insult you viciously. Because the devil and his crowd will hate you. And what did Jesus say? If they hated Him, they will hate us too. The more they hate me, the more I rejoice, to be honest with you. Lord, I bless you for that. The more people hate me, and they have, and they still do, the more I rejoice. What did Jesus say? When they say all manner of evil against you, just rejoice. Because you decided to live the Christian life. And Paul talks in Galatians 5:11. He says, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? That's the shame, huh? Then he says, then is the offense of the cross ceased. No. We don't want the offense of the cross to cease. You know what else? What else? The cross represents. The second you say yes to Jesus and no to the world, you will have to understand it represents weakness. In other words, we begin to depend on the Lord's strength to carry us, not our strength to carry us. You know, the Bible says that Jesus was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God. So, the cross puts a man into a place of weakness, helplessness, where he says, I can't do it. I can't live like this. I can't carry my own cross. I can't live this kind of life. And that's when we begin to say, Lord, live it through me. Lord, you do it because I can't. Isn't that precious? So the cross brings us to the end of ourselves. The cross brings us to the end of our resources. The cross brings us to that place of total dependence on the Lord to live the life through us. So it represents weakness. You know, there's an amazing scripture I want to read to you from the Psalms. I want you to listen carefully because this is so prophetic, so beautiful. And the psalmist wrote in Psalm 22, verse 14, and now this is prophetic about the Lord himself. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax inside of me. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up. My tongue cleaves to my jaw. You've brought me to the dust of death. Whoa. Most powerful. Verse 14 and 15 of Psalm 22. What did Jesus experience? Such weakness, he began to depend upon the Father to keep him. I mean, it's amazing. So this is prophetic about the fact that when you live the Christian life, you'll come to the end of yourself. You'll come to the end of your own strength, to the end of your own resources. You say, Lord, I'm now dependent on you to carry me through and live this life through me. And number three, when you choose the cross, you choose death. Not only do you choose persecution and shame, not only do you choose weakness to say, I can't do it, I come to the end of myself, but you also choose death. So when the Lord spoke of bearing the cross, he spoke of death, because that's what the cross is. The cross is the center, it's the heart of the Christian message. The gospel, the message of Calvary, was never intended to give you a fresh spring cleaning where you can say, okay, I got saved so I can clean my life up. It's way more than that. The cross is not given so you can brighten yourself up, make you a little more acceptable to God, you know, fix you all up. The gospel and the cross came to finish you. Lord Jesus, finish me. Lift your hands and say, Lord, finish me. The cross came to finish you. So you no longer live, but Jesus lives through you. It's no longer I that liveth, Paul said, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me and died for me. But what did he say first? I'm crucified with Christ. I'm dead. I've surrendered. Nevertheless, I live, and this life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I've come to the end of myself, and the gospel has finished me. So the gospel doesn't come, the message of the cross doesn't come to brighten our corner or give us a spring cleaning and say, oh, now I'm more acceptable to God, you know. It comes to finish us. Why? So we would become a new creation. Did you hear what I said? The cross comes to finish us so we would become a new creature in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away. You know, people, when they talk about that, they're really thinking about some song they want to sing. And I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. All things are passed away, I'm born again. But they don't think about the fact it's death that brought them there. I'm more of a conqueror, that's who I am. It's like about victory, you know, which it is. But what comes before victory? Death. The cross offers us a final solution to the problem of ongoing sin. It opens the way to our resurrection. And our resurrection lies on the other side of the cross. Our resurrection and our new life lies on the other side of Calvary. All right, we're going to continue again tomorrow. Because tomorrow I'm going to show you how to look to Jesus. How to surrender to the Lord. How to really live the life. Because it's all about surrender. Romans 6:13, yield unto God. Mara konto pielbe. Come on, let's bless him in the Holy Ghost. Mene mene kinti palbal alfa pialba pialba kanti meno. Lord, we praise your holy name. Oh Lord Jesus, bless your people with that truth. Oh Lord Jesus, bless them with depth in the Holy Ghost and the Word. Oh dear Jesus, bless them. And anoint them and use them in Jesus' name. Amen. Meet every need, answer every prayer, every heart's cry today. Amen. Now listen, before you go, God cares about your finances. I tell you that every day because I really believe 2021 is going to be a great year for you financially. I just know it. And I don't want you to miss out on what God is going to do with you financially. That's why it's important now to not hold back from the Lord. It's important to give because you know what? Prosperity comes because we love the Lord. That's Proverbs 28:21. Prosperity comes because we obey the Word. But prosperity also comes because we obey the Lord. We say yes to Jesus. Not just because we love Him and love His Word, but we also have to obey when he says to us, give. You know, that's not an advice, it's a command. Give, it shall be given unto you. And giving, you know, is the toughest one of all because obedience is tough. It's easy to love the Lord. It's easy to love His Word. But to obey when He says, give your money, boy, people, you know, that's like it stirs up the flesh. And I think the more people live in the flesh, the more they really just don't want to give. Because the flesh wants to keep that money, not give it to God. But once you give your heart to Jesus fully, it's so easy to give Him your money. Because now your heart belongs to Him. Where your heart is, your treasure is, you know. So, and I know you love Him. But let's show Him how much we love Him by giving today. You know, Paul said, prove the sincerity of your love in 2 Corinthians 8. So let's do it. Let's just prove how much we love Him. Because love is giving and giving is loving, you know. When you love someone like your children, they have a birthday, you go, you know, buy them something to say, I love you. Or when it's Christmas or some special day, you buy them something to say, I love you. Or your wife, your husband, same thing. So, think about the Lord now. Amen. Lord, bless them as they give in the name of Jesus. I give you praise. And when you give today, just say in your heart to the Lord, Lord, this is my love gift. I just want you to know I love you today. Amen. Okay. Let's love Him through our gifts by giving and sowing right now on the platform you're watching me on, whatever platform you're watching me on, or you can go to benhin.org, or you can text BHM45777. All right. Much love to all of you. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm going to continue. I finish this tomorrow. And this Friday, healing service at 7 p.m. It will be wonderful. Shalom.